Morning is, have you been mugged by the mirror? Have you been mugged by the mirror? If so, what can you do about it? That's a big question. 2 weeks ago, we began a study on identity theft and how it can affect us in a variety of ways. The first area addressed was being robbed by relationships, and we saw how important relationships are, but sometimes they can have a detrimental effect upon our lives as well. Last week, our focus was on what to do when we discover we've been pickpocketed by our past. Our past has a great influence on the way we often live out our present, the present-day life. And we found that sometimes it can have an adverse effect upon it if we're not careful. This morning I want to address another type of identity theft that affects a lot of people. And I want to also deal with the solution to that problem. It's when we realize that we have been mugged by the mirror. You say, well, how in the world does that happen? This invariably occurs if we seek our identity in our outward appearance only. And there are many that do that. Several years ago now, there was a reality TV show called True Beauty. The producers of that show were looking for the most beautiful person. But what they didn't tell the contestants was that they were not only measuring outward beauty, but they were measuring inward beauty. So how did they go about finding such information about those contestants? They secretly taped these individuals in a variety of situations. They taped conversations in which they were caught talking about the other contestants, what they said about them. They put them in situations where they would either show compassion to someone else, they would just seek to further their own agenda. And they were given also opportunities to see if they would just be good citizens or not. Here's what they found. Many of these so-called, quote, beautiful people were so wrapped up in their outward appearance that they could not even see the ugliness of their lives on the inside. They failed to see that. I'm sure that all of us have run into people that were like that, and perhaps you have had to. You may have to admit that at times, maybe you've been guilty of doing the same thing. There's a story told of a male student who was in his first year in high school. When he attended his first class, his attention was drawn to this particularly beautiful young lady. As he went throughout that first day at school, he found that she was in all but one or two of his classes. He thought to himself, I want to get to know this girl. I want to find out a little more about her. Well, as the year progressed, that indeed it did happen. But he was blown away by what he discovered about her. He found out that she was full of herself. She was stuck up. With this new revelation, he no longer saw her outward beauty, but the ugly inner self that she clearly portrayed to those around her. You see, she may have spent a lot of time working on her outside appearance, but she failed to spend adequate time working on the inside, which is far more important. And that really took its toll on how people viewed her, how they saw her. Now, on the flip side, I'm sure that many of us have seen people who don't possess a lot of outward beauty. But as you get to know them, you discover a remarkable beauty that radiates from within. And that's amazing. You want to get to know that person better. And that beauty is very, very attractive when you see that being portrayed. Even though we probably know these things to be true in our head, as we face the mirror, I believe many of us still think to ourselves, how do other people see me? How do they see me? Do they think I'm ugly? Do they think I'm fat? Do they think I'm a kind of a strange or weird person? Will other people like what they see when they look at me? Sure, we should take care of ourselves. That's not a bad thing. In fact, I believe it is proper and godly to take care of this body that the Lord has given to us. But there's a difference between caring for ourselves and our bodies and desiring to change ourselves from who God created us to be solely because we think we will be happier if we do and we'll have more friends. You see, if we think that way, guess what? We've been mugged by the mirror. I realize that it is hard to escape this type of thinking because it seems that our whole world system pushes the idea that outward beauty makes life better. We see it in advertising. We see it in the products that are put forth, like makeup and hair care products. It can be seen in fashion magazines. Open up any one of those magazines and see the models who are ultra thin and skinny and seem to have perfect skin and who appear to look so happy in that condition. Thus it becomes hard not to think that if we just looked like them, life would be a whole lot better for us. But you see, if we believe that lie, we'll be guilty of being mugged by the mirror. At this point, let me give you a word of caution. I want you to realize that there's nothing wrong about desiring to look good. But we need to always assess the reasons we want to alter our outward appearance and be cautious with the methods that we use to achieve that goal. We have many people in our culture who get so deceived by stressing the outward look that they can become anorexic. We know people that are like that. Or bulimic. Or turn to steroids thinking these will make them look much better. When that happens, they have deceived themselves into thinking that they will be prettier or stronger or just plain happier because they've done that. If we want to be in better shape and to have more energy, by all means, work out. It's a good thing. But if we think we need to do these things in order for other people to like us or for other people to love us, we've been mugged by the mirror. So how does a person overcome such an obsession? How do we avoid our identity being stolen by the mirror? That's the big question. We hear some tips from God's Word. Isn't it great that God's Word has some such practical advice and help in a variety of situations, and he does for this one as well? First, to avoid being mugged by the mirror, we need to know what God knows. That's important. We need to know what God knows. To do that, I want to read to you a portion of a psalm of David that expresses some things that God knows about each one of us. What he knows about you, what he knows about me. David says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Psalm 139, verse 13, I want you to listen to these words. Ponder them in your thinking. For you, God, created my inmost being. You, listen to this, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That suggests care. That suggests that he was very careful how he made you as an individual. Isn't that interesting? Psalm 139, verses 14 and 15. He said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And then Psalm 139, verse 16. Listen to this. This almost blows your mind when you think about it. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days, listen, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. When? When? Before one of them came to be. Wow. Think of it. That's how much God cared about you and your design and the way you were made. That to me is very exciting. Okay, so as we read this scripture, one of the things that you need to remember is this. You see, you were created to be you. You were created to be you. Listen to some of those verses again. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Don't forget that. That tells us that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, what these verses are clearly saying is that you were not some mistake. God knew what He was doing when He fashioned you. He knew what He was doing. Listen, even before you were born, He was making you to be you. And while God has given you an earthly tent to live in, the real you that He has created is really the you that is inside this shell of ours. That is who you really are. So changing things on the outside really doesn't change you. It doesn't. Whether you have the best complexion or the best teeth or the best physique or whether you don't, you see, that isn't really the most important issue. You need to remember that God created you very, very special. He wants you to live an enjoyable and full life no matter how you look on the outside. If we want to lose weight, to be healthier, by all means, go on a diet. But He doesn't need you to be more physically attractive or more talented or better looking for His plan and purpose to be fulfilled in your life. And you know something? He doesn't even need you to have two legs or two arms to use you, as you will find out in a few minutes in a story you're going to hear. You have been created in His image to be you, and He has a plan, a perfect plan, and a perfect purpose for you, just the way He created you. One thing He does want to change, though, in our lives is on the spiritual level. He wants you to become more and more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with our physical attributes. Even though we see throughout God's Word that out of His goodness and mercy He makes the blind to see and the lame to walk, those external changes don't make a person different, make them a new person. God doesn't need us with different physical attributes to use us. All He wants is for us to make ourselves available to be used as He sees fit. Therefore, if we're not going to be mugged by the mirror anymore, you see, we need to know what God knows about us. We need to also see things as God sees them. So often we make judgments on the externals, don't we? But God doesn't look at the externals. You remember when Samuel was going to anoint another king after Saul? God sent him to the house of Jesse. Jesse began bringing out his sons, and when Samuel saw the outward appearance of Jesse's first son, he thought to himself, oh man, this must be the guy. He must be the next king. He's surely the Lord's choice. God said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord doesn't see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks deep in the heart. If we do not want to be mugged by the mirror and have our outward appearance dictating our identity, then we have to be willing to examine our own heart and, and see what is really inside and the changes that may need to be made. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 7, 20-23? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride. All these things come from within, and they are the things that defile a person. Our outside appearance doesn't make us unusable to God, but how we look on the inside certainly does play an important role. When we focus on the inside, that's when God is willing to help us to grow spiritually, and He will show us how He can best use us as we're willing to be yielded to Him. And He will do that in powerful ways. When we start seeing how God sees, we see things a whole lot clearer. He will help us to also love like God loves. Jesus told His disciples in John 13:34, "Love one another as I have loved you." So how do we do that? Well, I believe it starts with what Jesus tells us is the greatest commandment. That is what we need to do first. And you know what it is? It's to love God first. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:37-38, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." And when we love God above all else, He will be directing us in all that we do. As He directs us, we'll be able to do what is humanly impossible. We'll be able to love people the way He wants us to love them. After Jesus tells us what the greatest commandment is, He then says in Matthew 22:39, "Then love your neighbor as yourself." Maybe you think loving people is not so hard. It isn't so hard to love the lovable, but Jesus loved the unlovable, and that's what He has called us to do. And the only way we can do that is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is to come to the place of admitting you're a sinner, be willing to repent of your sin, and to trust Christ as your personal Savior. You see, when we know what God knows and see how God sees and begin loving as God loves, our whole focus changes from the externals to who a person really is on the inside. This verse in Matthew 22:39 tells us to love our neighbors ourselves. You know, in saying that, there's an implication that we must love ourselves. Well, this is not some self-love. In other words, do what we want because we need to love ourselves. But as God's creation, we do need to have a proper love and respect for who God created us to be. When we have a proper self-image, it helps us to truly live out the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And as we do that, as we love people with our actions, it cycles back and helps us to continue to have a proper self-respect and thus protect us from being mugged by the mirror. John emphasizes the importance of loving one another in 1 John 3:18 and 19. Listen to what he says. "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." As we understand what God knows and see how God sees and love like God loves, we will have that peace and security in who the Lord has created us to be. Ultimately, that's when we truly stop being mugged by the mirror. And instead, we become a mirror that reflects the glory of God. When we're reflecting God's glory, people are going to see the beauty of the Lord shining through us. That's indeed what has happened in the case of a man named Nick Volchik. I want him to tell you his story in a few moments. If anyone had reason to allow the mirror to rob him of his identity, I think you will agree after you watch this video that indeed Nick had good reason to. And he did for a while. If he had continued that way, he would have totally missed, though, God's plan for his life. But eventually he discovered that by focusing on his externals, he was unwittingly experiencing being mugged by the mirror. When he stopped doing that, he was set free to become all that God wanted him to be. And boy, what a fulfilled life he has had since he was willing to do that. Let him tell his story.
Extraordinary. Their abilities, their talent, or simply their smile. When I first met Nick Vujicic, I knew I had just encountered someone extraordinary. From the moment he began to share his amazing story with me, I witnessed firsthand how God is using a man with no arms and no legs to be God's hands and his feet.
My dad was saying that he was, you know, his head was next to my mom's head as I was being born, and he saw my shoulder, and he just went pale. He was hoping my mom didn't see me because he saw that I had no right arm. And my dad had to leave the room. And he couldn't believe what he saw. And the doctor came in, and my dad said, "My son, he has no right arm." And he says, "No, your son has no arms or legs." And he said he nearly fell on the floor. He couldn't believe it. And the whole church was mourning, you know, like, why would God let the pastor's son be born that way? And my mom, at first, she didn't want to hold me. She didn't want to, you know, breastfeed me and all that. She just felt very uncomfortable for the first 4 months. And it took them quite a while before they could trust in God that he didn't make a mistake, that he didn't forget them or me.
Nick's parents gave their fear and even disappointment in their son's disability over to the Lord. They chose to trust God and his promise that he had a plan and purpose, a hope and a future for their son. But as the years passed, Nick, on the other hand, had many challenges trusting in a God that he felt gave him less.
I challenged God. I said, "God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I won't probably have peace until you're in my heart, but I will not let you in my heart until you answer me, why? Why did you take my arms and legs? Why didn't you give me what everybody else has?" And I said, "God, until you answer me that question, I will not serve you." And so I wanted to end it. If God wasn't going to end my pain, I was going to end it myself. So at age 8, I tried to drown myself in a bathtub of 4 inches of water. I told my mom and dad, "I'm just going to relax in the bathtub. Can you put me in the bathtub?" And I turned over a couple times to see if I could do it. I couldn't do it. The thought that stopped me from going through with it was the love for my parents. Because I love them so much, and all they did was love me. And I thought to myself, if I actually went through with this, I pictured my funeral, I pictured my parents, and also was guilt on their shoulders that they couldn't have done more.
That would be the last time Nick would attempt suicide, but it wouldn't be the last time he would come face to face with those deep issues that made him want to end the pain. Then one day, Nick's mother had him read an article about a severely disabled man, and that man's story made a huge impact on Nick.
I have a choice to either be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. And my mom, she said, "Nick, God's going to use you. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's going to use you." And those seeds started penetrating in my heart. And that's when I started seeing that there is no point in being complete on the outside when you're broken on the inside. And And I found out that God can heal you without changing a circumstance. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I read John 9 at age 15, where a man was coming through a village, and a man, this blind man from birth, Jesus saw him. People said, why was this man born that way? Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God may be revealed through him. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. And I believe God breathed in me life and faith. This faith came over me. This peace came over me. And I felt like God answered my question.
And what was the question and what was the answer?
The question was, why? Why did you make me this way? And the answer was, do you trust me? That's the question. And when you say yes to that question, nothing else matters.
But what was it specifically for you that made you say, Lord, I'm going to trust your word because I know it's true. I'm going to trust you even if I don't know what you have in store for me tomorrow.
Right. Because there was nothing else I could find. There was nothing else that could give me peace. I knew arms and legs wouldn't give me peace anyway. Arms and legs alone. I needed to know the truth of who I am, why I'm here, and where I'm going when I'm not here. And I haven't found that truth anywhere else but in Jesus Christ.
And it was in Jesus Christ where Nick found the strength to do what many thought would be the impossible.
It's so hard to be strong when people constantly say, you're not good enough, go away, we don't want anything to do with you. Nick, you're a nobody. Nick, you can't do this. Nick, you can't do that. Nick. In life, if you don't know the truth, then you can't be free. Because then you'll believe that the lies are the truth. But once we realize that when we read the Word of God and you know the truth of who you are, I am not a man without arms and legs. I am a child of God. I am forgiven of my sins. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm nothing but a servant of the Most High God. This is not about Nick. It's not about Nick's capacity and capability to become this conqueror. I am nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm nothing. God, though, lives in me, and I now live in His strength. And whatever Jesus conquered, I conquer. I believe if God doesn't give you a miracle, you are a miracle of God for somebody else's salvation. And I thank God that He didn't answer my prayer when I was begging Him for arms and legs at age 8. Because guess what? Because I have no arms and no legs, He's using me all around the world. And we've seen so far, approximately, this is conservative, 200,000 souls come to Jesus Christ for the very first time in the last 6-7 years. And what would you rather? Would you rather have arms and legs, Nick, here on earth and no arms? No. Whatever His will is. Because I'd rather have no arms and no legs temporarily here on earth to be able to reach someone else for Jesus Christ and then spend eternity with them there.
In the last decade, Nick has shared his story in 24 countries to over 3 million people. And whether he's talking to a stadium packed with people or one single person, his heart behind the message is the same.
God loves you. That He hasn't forgotten your pain. He hasn't forgotten your family. And maybe while you're watching this interview, you've compared your suffering to my suffering. And that's not where hope is, to know that someone else, in your opinion, is suffering more than you. That's not where hope is. But hope is in the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is when you compare your suffering to the infinite, immeasurable love and grace of God. Isaiah 40, verse 31, says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. I didn't need my circumstance to change. I don't need arms and legs. I need the wings of the Holy Spirit. And I'm flying because I know Jesus is holding me up. Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you.
What a powerful message. You think of how he was born and the things that he had to go through. And yet God used him when he was willing to realize that his outward appearance wasn't the important thing. It was what was going on in here. Do you realize today that you've been mugged by the mirror? Maybe Satan has been telling you that because of your physical appearance, you're not very attractive to others, or that you'll never amount to a whole lot. Friends, those are lies. You are created in the image of God, and He has a plan, and He has a purpose for you, and He wants to use you and reflect His glory. It all starts, though, with being willing to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to take that step today. That's the starting point. And then as we yield our lives fully to Him, we'll begin to love like He loves, and we'll be able to see ourselves, and we'll be able to see other people through God's eyes. And we'll see people not based on outward appearance, but what they can become as they're willing to surrender fully into His keeping. May our prayer be that of our closing hymn, just a closer walk with Thee, because that's a key. The closer we walk with Jesus, the more we're going to reflect His glory in the lives of other people.